Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2023 Youth Education Conference held in Salt Lake City, Utah.
So, yeah, I'm excited to be here, guys. I'm so excited. So I'd like to start off, though. Raise your hand if you know what you want to be when you grow up. If you know what you want to be when you grow up. Yeah? Okay, maybe. Okay, you're right there. What is your name? Do you want to stand up? Okay, I'm putting you on the stage here. Okay? Okay, Caleb, right? Okay, what do you want to be when you grow up? Ooh, okay, okay. Are we looking plane side, rocket side? What are we looking at? Planes? That's awesome. Okay, thank you, Caleb. Matthew, what do you want to be when you grow up? Air Force pilot. Okay, I see we have a trend here. Okay, any other aviators or, oh, Kevin, you want to be? Oh, no, you don't want to, it's okay. No, oh, Hannah, you want to be an aviator. No? What? Oh, my heavens. Okay, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a service dog trainer.
A service dog trainer. That's awesome. I used to work for a professional horse trainer. His name's Mike Miller, and we trained horses. It was awesome. So much fun. I'll come back to that. Okay, anyone else? Last grabbers? Joseph? No? Oh, Shem, you have something.
Yes.
You do? Okay, what do you want to be growing up?
Architect.
Designing what? Planes? No? Oh, sorry. Oh, darn, I get those two mixed up. Homes, okay. That's awesome. If you knew how important a home was, Shem, that's probably why I actually want to be an architect. Okay. So, what do you think I wanted to be when I grew up? A speaker? TED Talk? Yeah, I like it. You right there. Horse, yeah, that was on my list. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Is that all? Oh, you right there. Mathematician. I'm glad you guys think I'm smart. Okay. Kevin. Do you still have a cat? Okay, that's a good Shem?
A dad.
Ooh, that's on my list. Okay, Hayden.
A cowboy.
Cowboy, okay, okay. We got the horses here. Matthew, last one.
Missionary.
Oh, man. Okay. You're right there, Matthew. Out of all the things I want to be, I actually don't know. So I'm sorry, guys. It's just not going to work. So actually, I have done a lot of things in my life. I've been places. I've done so much, right? I used to act with my friend Jake here. We used to be actors together. We'd go and we'd smile and say things. I still don't know if they're important at all. I mean, you know, play acting. And then from that point on, I started to progress. But let me tell you guys my journey. So I have lived everywhere across the states. Okay? I was born in Logan, Utah. Okay? Then we moved to California. I'm sorry, but, you know, we were there for a short time. So then from California, we went over to Missouri. Missouri to Tennessee. This is right when I start remembering things about my life. So when we were in Tennessee, I was about 7 years old. That's when I learned how to play the piano. Right? I love it. Piano's my favorite thing. Missouri, then Tennessee. Yeah, there you go. I know. You've been there with me too, Coop. It's okay. He came in from California. Give him a break, guys. We don't talk about that. So, you can see is from Tennessee, I started to grow, right? That's, I mean, both height-wise and mentally. I hope mentally, guys. You know, if I'm not keeping up, we know why. So, I started to learn about who I was, right? I started to find myself. But again, at 8 years old, who you are is kind of just, you know, off the walls. Yeah, you don't know who you're at or where you're at, where you're going, anything. Sorry, Coop, I'm just putting you on the spot here. You start talking now, I'm thinking about you. So you always know, what do you want to be when you're up?
Pilot.
Yeah, you've always known what you wanted to be. I have no idea what I want to be. I don't know where I'm going or who I'm to become. Right? I'm sure of you guys have felt that spot. But we moved to Idaho, Blackfoot, Idaho. Right? I remember I prayed to Heavenly Father. I says, Heavenly Father, just give me a friend. I just need somebody. I need to be with someone who's going to help me be able to put me where I need to be. So that Sunday, we ended up going to church, and we had all these moms, and they said, hey, you know, I have a kid your age. Oh, yeah, you know, so-and-so's your age. Why don't you come to class, right? I felt so welcome. I was the answer to my prayers, right? But sadly, the story doesn't end there. We started to grow up. I think I was about 10 years old before we started to make differences, right? I'm not talking about boy and girl differences. The fact is I was homeschooled, they're public school. You know how it works, right? So where I was technically Wapello. You've probably never heard of it because it's never heard of. And it's right in between some big cities. There's just a small little town. So we have different kids, and nobody else went to the same school. Everyone else was different, including me. But I was more so, right? Because I was homeschooled. I remember walking into Sunday school one class, and one kid thought he was smart, and he said, look, Bracken, do you know what fractions are? And I says, fractions? It's like the thing with the letters, right? No, he says, no, it's the numbers. He goes on the whiteboard, and he writes 3-4. That's a fraction, Bracken. You're probably too dumb to understand that. It hurt. So, of course, I actually understood what fractions were. I just never knew that there was a name to them. Right? I mean, okay, diesel mechanic here, you have to translate from metric, you know, the European, German, and then you have this weird American people, and they have, you know, 1/4, they have 3/4, they have 5/8. I mean, where does that come from? Right? So I know, Caleb, you get that. So it's just, I understand fractions, I love fractions. But that moment, it really hurt, right? I remember my best buddy that I made friends with, he told me, Bracken, he says, you are invited to my birthday party. I was so proud, guys. I was so proud, you know, accomplishments here. But he actually never invited me. And then he said, oh, Bracken, I'm so sorry, we forgot about that next year. Right, next year rolls around, I had a present for him, I was ready. And you know, oh, Bracken, I'm so sorry. I totally forgot, I was just so busy, there's too many people I was inviting, I'm sorry. It's okay, you know. Well, then we start to hit that age in young men's, right? It's deacon's quorum, right? It's fun. I've been there, done that. Don't want to go back. Sorry, guys. it was good though, right? And I went to deacon's quorum, and this is like the apex. I was just this homeschooler. I was for the most part okay being a homeschooled, right? There's other people that says, yeah, do you wish you were public school? That says, no, not really. I mean, I was fine with where I was at. But it was one time when it really hit me, literally. I was at scout camp, and I got taken down by four of the other deacons there, and they gave me a black eye, right, in front of the scout leaders, and they just watched. It really hurt. So then mom put me in martial arts, but I learned something really important here. The one time I punched a kid was actually for Cooper's sake, and I hit him in the forehead. Hurt me more than hurt the kid, right? But I couldn't hurt a fly. If I was to get beat up, I just let it happen, right? Because I knew that I had been praying for every one of those kids, that they would be able to find who they were, and that I would be able to see them as Christ did. And Christ did not hit the Pharisees and the Romans. I couldn't either. So during this time, I actually went to a homeschool co-op over in Idle Falls, right? New kids, new area. That's where I met my acting buddy here, Jake, and this, you know, some other goofballs. And there's this one kid in particular. His name is Liam, right? He was this really, he had all these opinions. He knew what he wanted and his thoughts on it. If there's a movie came out, he said, Bracken, this was terrible because of this. But, you know, they had a moment of brilliancy when the girl walked through the door. I says, why? He says, I don't know yet. And I said, okay. And you just, all these thoughts, right? He had an opinion on everything. And he also had been just ostracized because of that fact, right? He just did not fit in either. So he and I actually clicked really well. And it was coming to a point where he and I really connected. He and I just grew up together. We became really good friends. That's when I started taking acting class. We did Shakespeare. And we'd, at the end of the year, we'd perform just act one, scene one, or of whatever Shakespeare play, and we'd go put it on. So I started doing that. I really fell in love with acting. Just going up on stage, being able to be someone and then coming off and be able to be myself again, right? Just like a moment of fresh air, and then I go back to being just poor old Bracken who gets beat up on Saturdays, right? So you come, you right? So there was a moment in time when I decided, you know, I'm kind of done of this Shakespeare stuff. It's grown old. I feel like I'm too old. Liam thought he was too old last semester anyways, so, you know, I think I'm done here. And Mom says, you know, Bracken, says, we're actually not going to do iFamily this year. I said, what? What? What do you mean? And she says, yeah, it's just, you know, you're the only one that actually wants to take classes, and it's just an acting one. I said, yeah, that's what I want to do. Said, yeah, but no. So we didn't come. We didn't go. Liam then went, and he made some really good friends, which I am so grateful that he made friends. I've always been worried about him because he's kind of socially awkward. I've never told him that. Okay, actually, I have. But, you know, he had a hard time clicking with people, and which was fine. And I was so grateful he made friends. But at the same time, I wish he hadn't. Because when we go to the act, we go into our big boy play, when I finally came back, he had all these friends that he connected with. All these people that he knew and would rather spend time with instead of me. He wasn't very good at dividing time between friends. It was either his friend group or Bracken, which, I mean, was fine. It's okay. He can go make friends. I made lots of friends. Jake will attest to this, right? He's one of them. And we go out, and I was called the social butterfly, among other things. Yeah. Uh-huh. We're not talking about those other things, right? So I made lots of friends. I really enjoyed it, right? So then we had the Allen family had a really traumatic thing happen when Cooper accidentally burned down a shop. I'm joking. He didn't actually burn it down. He's going to defend it. What happened is, well, actually, we don't actually know. It just burned down and flew down. We think it was Cooper because he had a battery in charging, but we don't know, right? Maybe I burnt it down and just always blamed on Cooper. I'm sorry, Mom. Okay, so we don't know what happened. It just burned down. And that's when Dad said, you know, if I'm going to build anew, I want to do it where I want to do it. I don't want to live in Wapello. However you say that. And he says, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back to Portage, Utah. He says, where's that? He says, you thought Wapello was old? Well, guess what? And so we started making plans on moving. So there's that time period. I was about 14 years old. It happened in about April, early spring. And I just turned 14. My birthday's in March. And I was kind of devastated, right? Dad, I finally found all these friends, all these kids that I actually work with. You know, I at this point, I'd stopped going to Young Men's because I feel Young Men's should be a place where you can feel safe and loved, but I was not getting that at Young Men's. So I decided, you know, this dad, at least let me get my license. He says, we'll see how it goes. So in Idaho, how this works is when you're 14 and a half, you can apply for your driver's permit. Well, we didn't end up signing on our house until September 11th, which was my 6 months. 3 hours after I put in to get my driver's permit, we sold the house, which is still legal. My mom checked with the lawyer. It was fine. So, no, seriously, we had a lawyer in our ward. It was awesome. He's a nice guy. So I put in for my driver's license, and we ended up deciding to do one last play. I was going to stay back in Idaho with some family while my parents and my family, the rest of my immediate family, moved down to Utah, Portage, Utah, and started building. Well, that was the plan at least. And then, you know, it was during stock market crisis. I mean, this was the year of 2020, right? So you all know what it looks like. You know, we've all been there. It was really hard, though, for me because I had my family. I wanted to be with them. But also there's this last play that we were getting put on, this one that was actually going to happen because earlier in the year, our first play got canceled. So we were really excited for this. And that play was the hardest one I've ever put on. It was also the only play I ever put on. But it was really hard because I knew that all these friends that I made, I wouldn't be seeing anymore. I wouldn't see them every Wednesday at 10 o'clock. I wouldn't be able to attend all of their activities, all of their movie nights. I wouldn't be there for them anymore. They wouldn't be there for me. Right? It was almost to a point where some of my friends started treating me like, oh, he's leaving. You know, that's just Bracken. And it really hurt. Guys, as friends, you don't know how much of an impact you have on others. The friends you have and will have a great impact on you and them. When you have a friend, do not just cast them aside. They matter. They matter. So we moved to Portage, Utah, right? And I got my license. I moved. Play was over. A fresh start, fresh beginning. Again, I find myself in the same position I was just 5 years prior, on my knees praying for friends. So I went to church. There were some kids that my dad knew their parents because he grew up in Portage, Utah, town of 200. Awesome. Keep it that way, please, guys, you know. And he said, Bracken, you should go hang out with him. You should go do stuff. And I said, okay, you know. But I never did, right? But then one day they showed up on my doorstep. And said, hey, do you want to come play? I says, play? What are we for? You know, it's... He says, no, we're actually going to play some video games. I need some friends. Okay, sure. So I went over and we played Minecraft for 5 hours. Yeah, it was rough. Well, so I ended up developing or furthering my relationship with these guys, but it came to a point of, well, I can only spend my time doing electronics and Minecraft for so long, or I just need to... move. I need to move on and find more friends. So then I started training horses. And this was really hard for me because right when I was moving from Idaho to Utah, my uncle started showing me what it meant to be a cowboy, how to ride a horse, checking cows. So when I went, my boss will tell me anything. He says, Bracken, you are the greenest rider we've ever had. Come to find out, green means fresh, okay? So yeah, saddle sore was terrible. So I went, and he showed me how to train a professional horse. And that's when I started to learn two things. One, I started to find myself again, because at this time, my best buddy Liam had been talking about how grateful he was that I had been gone, that he had left. And for someone who believes everything that his best friend tells him, it's really cruddy self-confidence. And two, I learned how much training a horse is like our relationship with our Savior. We can buck him off. We can just run away. But he will always be there, ready to get back on. He will always make sure that we know where we're going. Make sure that we know how to get through a difficult obstacle. Now, when we're training a horse, as a horse trainer, I try to find those really hard things that I know my horse doesn't like. Say there's a small puddle, right? Hayden's back could be a small puddle for me, and I just decide that this thing is a deep sea in Hayden's backpack, and I just decide I don't want to go there. So me as the horse trainer decides, well, there's two things I can do. I can either say, that's fine, don't worry about it, or I can say, you can learn now. So then we go through the process, and by the end of it, you're, as the rider, sweaty, tired, and there's the horse just ready for another round, and you're just... why, right? But then you move on and you do it again. You do it again. And to me, I realized that this was a lot like trials. Heavenly Father in Christ will give us trials. He'll put in front of us puddles or culverts or trees or just bracken. And you have to just figure out how to move around them, how to become better, right? So I learned that where I was an okay place. But I had better potential. I could be someone else. So then I worked with Mike for about a year and a half. Met some really awesome people. I still to this day wish I worked for Mike, but I don't anymore. What I did instead was actually this thing called speech and debate. Ammon, Garrett, you guys have done this? Yeah, I know. It's fun. Sarcastically, right? Finger guns? Yeah, fun, right? You go up, and you have to share your thoughts. You have to really think about things. You have to just say, look, dude, I don't know your name, but there's this thing, and it's really important because it's a banana. Because it's yellow, and your orange is orange and named weird. And then you have, well, actually, the reason the benefits of an orange is it has vitamin C. I says, are you sure it's not D? He says, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's C. And sorry, I missed that in kindergarten. Didn't go. And it's, oh, you know. So it was a challenge for me, right? But I was in this place where all of a sudden I was being put in front of people and having to say, look, this is my thought. And please don't hang me, I'm just the messenger. And they said, okay, you know what, that's a good point. But really it taught me how to think. Helped me able to say, look, I believe in Jesus Christ because. I believe in Jesus Christ because I know that he is our Savior. I know that he is our Christ and has died for us so that we have this chance. But he's not dead, he still lives. I know that our Savior, Jesus Christ, is in each of and every one of us. So, I had a dear friend tell me that, or share with me this quote, and I'm going to paraphrase it, excuse me, but she said that we ask ourselves every day, who am I to be? Famous? Popular? Extravagant? Fancy? But really, who are we not to be? Each one of us has a light in us. And by choosing to share that light, we endow other people the chance and the ability to do likewise. We're giving permission to let those around us be able to share their light. So who do you want to be when you grow up? I was at FSY. I know, it was interesting, right? I'm sure you guys have all been there. But I really did love the experiences that I had. It was amazing. I was sitting down, we're at Provo, and we were us boys, it was a Wednesday night. Hayden knows the story because he was there. So, we had one of our opening speakers. He and his wife came off of vacation early with his family to come speak to us at FSY. And he decided, you know what, I'm going to come spend a night with you guys, just session family, thank you Hayden. He said, I'm going to come spend your evening devotional with you guys. And that was the most spiritual one we've ever had. He came in late, actually. But what happened is we started talking about what it meant to know who we are and why that's important. You see, at the beginning of conference, we watched a special message from President Nelson. And he said, when you know who you are, you will be able to fight in the Lord's battalion for life. And that was my question. What does this mean? And this was the question that was discussed. So, we're talking. We had some kids here that really struggled with where they're at. They had medical disabilities. I struggled with them because I can only stay up till 3 o'clock in the night for so long and get up at 6 and everyone up. It was rough for me. But I had to pray. I had to learn how to love them. But when these kids started saying, look, this is what I go through every day. This is what I struggle with. I just felt compassion. I began to see these people, these boys, as who they were. Thankfully, to Heavenly Father. But our session family, he came in, just the one, not the family, so the husband. He came in, and he said, he sat down and started joining us, just listening. And he pulls out his phone and starts going on his phone. I thought, oh, well, you know, we lost him, darn. You know, well, I'm still going to participate. And then I look over and he's just crying. He's just bawling. What happened? And he said, I felt inspired to look at the young men theme. He said, there's been two times in my life when I have felt my true potential and who I am and where I've come from. He says, once was when I was 8 years old at a steak fireside. The second time was just now. He said, I was reading the young men theme. And it says, I am a beloved son of God. He couldn't get past that part. But that was the most important part of what he had to say. Because that is the most important thing. Every one of us here are child of heavenly parents who love us. 1 second, Abby. He knew right then that he was a child of God. It didn't matter that he had came off vacation or that he had family or that he was speaking in front of a bunch of youth. He knew that he was a child of God. So he knew at that moment and had been affirmed to him that he was a child of God. Guys, you don't know how important it is to know this simple truth that you are a child of God. Every one of you here has a divine potential and work. Each one of you are worth so much in the eyes of the Lord. He does not want you to leave him. Every one of us has been placed on this earth for a reason. But many of us now are losing sight of who we are. It's hard. I know. I live the same life in the same place that you guys do. It's hard. It's so hard. I feel bad for a lot of my public school friends because they're in a place and an environment where the world is just so loud. And it's so hard to see everything else when it's just distracting and there's so much in front of you. But those who are strong know one truth, that they are a child of God. When you know who you are, you will be able to fight in the Lord's battalion for life. So why is that important? Why is it so important to know where you came from, who your parents are? For me, even now, I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I don't know exactly who I am, but I do know one truth. That you, like me, are children of God. We all have a potential, a place to be, and a part to play in this life. Do not let the adversary believe and make you believe that you are worthless, that you mean nothing, because that is completely true. Excuse me. Wow. That was bad. Whoa. Okay. Just seeing if you're all awake here. He says, because that is completely untrue. There you go. I'm glad you're all awake, okay? Just had to make sure. I'm homeschooled, okay? You all have a purpose. You might not know what that purpose is. If you do, please let me know how I can find my purpose, because I still do not know where I'm going. But the FSY theme has also taught me another thing. Trust in the Lord. I look back and I see, wow, Bracken, you have done a lot of things. You've done a lot of hobbies. You have a lot of skills. I don't know where I'm going, but it's looking cool, right? I've been an actor. I've been going to college for diesel mechanics since I was 14. I've been going, let's see, what else have I done? Debate, that's fun, but hard. Shem? I did a backflip last night. Yeah, I don't know how I did it, but I did it. So, you know, a jack of all trades, but master of none. So, really, though, is I ask myself lots of times, Bracken, where are you going? I mean, I feel, honestly, a lot of the skills I have are not because I went, hey, you know what, I want to be a diesel mechanic, or I want to work for a professional horse trainer who's won the National World Show and the World Show. So, yeah. That's fun. No, actually what happened is my mom stopped and said, hey, do you need someone to help you? Talk about your mom setting up a job for you. And he said, yeah, sure, you know, have him come by. So I talked to him, and he said, well, how much do you want to get paid? And I says, I don't know. And he says, good answer. And I'd work 90 hours a week and walk away with about $400. But I learned something important, right? It's not the amount of money that you make that makes your work important. It's the work that you do that is important. I have rode some really expensive horses, and I've learned some really expensive and valuable information. One of which, again, being that I am a child of God. Everywhere that I've been, I see it. Everywhere that I go, I can see it in you guys. You all have divine potential. Do not let the adversary know or make you believe. How many here has done something really hard? Okay. Okay, keep your hands up. Raise them high. Okay, okay. Okay, I'm not going to ask you what that hard thing is. But you can look around. Everyone here has done something hard. If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. Okay? You've all done something hard. Okay. Sorry, Madeline. Didn't mean to look at you there. But, okay, you can put your hands down. Every one of us here, and I can tell you what that hard thing was. Every one of us here has chosen to come to Earth, plan of salvation, to learn, to find out who we truly are. It is really hard. But this is not the end. There's still life. light at the end of the tunnel. Now, actually, Cooper, sorry, you know, you're my brother, I love you. So, you told me this story once, and it went something like, an optimist looks down a tunnel and sees a bright light at the end of it. And then you have a narcissist looks... Pessimist? Okay, sorry, this is why I'm quoting. Jake, you're not. Okay, that person would look and say, that's a train coming through the tunnel. And then you have a realist who looks and says, look, why are there two buffoons standing on the train tracks right in a tunnel? Really, though, guys, is there's a fourth category. The people who know who they are know that that train is their ticket to heaven. That if you go where the light is and bring others with you, you will be able to have a good impact. Did I say something wrong? Wow. Wow, okay. You know, I was not going there, but, you know, we all have cabooses. So, I was reading this book once. I don't know if, does anyone here know of Bob Goff? Yes, Alyssa, you do? Okay. Okay, Bob Goff is an awesome guy. One of his books that he wrote, he was talking about how he would save all his loose change, all his pennies when he was younger, and he'd go to a candy shop. And he'd put all his loose change on the counter and pick out all this candy that he want, and the cashier, the old man, would give him his change, buy the candy for him, well, kind of using his money, you know how it worked, and would say, here you go. One day, Bob walked into the shop, put everything he had on the table, and went and picked out all his candy, all his treats that he wanted. And when it was all rung up, he realized that he was one penny short. So the old man behind the desk, being as kind as he was, took one penny, some vinegar and some salt, and rubbed it on that penny until it shined. And he says, in this store, shiny pennies are worth twice as much. In this place, we are all pennies that are worth much. The world will tell you that one penny will not buy anything, that we cannot afford to buy that really cool limousine. I'm sorry, Hayden. I'm really sorry. But Heavenly Father will put salt and vinegar on us and scrub us until we shine. He will turn us into who we need to be, where we're worth lot. He'll make sure if we trust him and let him do hard things to us by putting trials, it's not that he hates us, it's because he loves us. If we let him dictate where we go, trust in the Lord, and believe that we are children of God. I was talking to a girl at a dance once. This girl, bless her soul, was awesome. And she would always just sit on the sidelines, just watch everyone, right? Almost just kind of sour looking. Can I have your chair? Okay, thank you. Okay, so she'd sit like this, right? Can you all see? Okay, here, let me do it again. Okay, that's how she looked. Here, Lincoln, here's your chair. She always just so skeptical. Why? You know, so finally, I'd always go up and say, hey, you should come dance with this line dance. And, well, I don't really like line dances. Hey, do you want to come dance? And she's like, I don't like to dance. So this went on for lots of dances. And finally, I went to her. And I says, sister, because I'm not going to say her name. I says, sister, why do you come to dances? Why are you here? If you don't participate, why do you still attend the dances? And she then shared with me a story. She says, Bracken, I do not know who I am. I feel like I should be a person who just participates in the dances, is just fun and enthusiastic, who everyone just loves to be around because I'm the life of the party, who I can just be anything, do anything, just accomplish anything simply by looking at it. But here I am just on the sidelines, too shy, too just discouraged to even go out. How do you do it? It's just me? I don't, actually. Don't you see me dance? Just, Bracken, you have so much confidence. I says, look. First off, I was hitting the head. No, I'm joking. I says, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I says, I do not know how I am able to stand in front of 60 people and say, look, you all are children of God. I don't know how that works. But I do know one thing. Is I am able to stand with broad shoulder, well, shoulders, you know, back, chin raised, because I know that I am a child of God. And when there's days that I don't believe it, I still trust in the Lord because he knows. He knows where I'm going. He knows where I've come from. He knows how to get me to where I need to go. I don't know what I do that just makes me seem like this really confident, cool-looking guy, right? But I just trust in the Lord. I know, and I've come to learn, that it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks about me. Oh, hey, that kid that just walked through, the super confident one, the one with the good looks and the pretty smile. Yeah, that's Bracken. I've come to learn. It's not actually. I'm sorry. And I've come to learn that it doesn't matter what they think of me. It matters what my Heavenly Father thinks of me. He knows how much I'm worth. He knows truly all of my faults, but also all of my strengths. He knows how to make me into the best-looking penny on the street. He knows how to turn me into someone who I couldn't even dream of being. Now, that sister and I had a really awesome conversation. We talked about it and her and how important she was. And I hope I was able to help her understand that she is a beloved child of God and that she has so much worth. In this world, there is so much vying for your attention. There's so much that just want to be known, right? They say, look, Hayden, that necklace you're wearing is cool, but look at this $1,000 one. It's so much better. And they're always vying for your attention and trying to say, look, this is worth so much more. This is worth more than you. That's really what they're saying. But that is not true. In the eyes of the Lord, every soul is priceless. I was reading a book by Brandon Sanderson, The Way of Kings. I'm sure a few of you guys are familiar with this. But in this book, there was this main character named Kaladin, and he was a slave. And I'm sure you guys could at least understand how detrimental that can be to one's soul, knowing that at any moment, you can just be paid off for $5 or for 20 pieces of silver. And if you think about it, he was worth just a little bit in the eyes of all his masters. But he started training up his fellow slaves how to be soldiers, as one does, and they went and they ended up saving this other leader who ended up making a promise with him. He says, I will free you. And he says, you guys are worth so much to me. Not in his words, but in his actions. Because what he did is he took this thing called the shard blade, which apparently is worth, you know, a whole princedom or a kingdom or a country, or priceless. And he says, look, Sadius, he says, I will trade you my shard blade for all of your slaves, every single one that you have, all 5,000. And Sadius said, yeah, I'll do that, you know, quickly took the sword and left. And Kaladin went to Dalinar, this hero, and said, why would you do that? Why would you do that? We're just slaves. And Dalinar asked Kaladin, says, in the eyes of a surgeon, how important is a life? And Kaladin instantly said, a life is priceless. And he says, well, I just traded one priceless thing for 5,000. I call that a bargain. We all are worth so much. We have so much potential. You might not know where you're going, or where you're going to end up, or even how you're going to get there. But trust in the Lord and the knowledge of who you are. That every one of you are children of God. That you mean so much to him. You all have a purpose. Now I'm sure many of you guys have gone through some really hard things. And I'm so sorry. But I hope that those things have helped you become strong. I hope that you guys have been able to become who you were meant to be. To help you guys realize your true worth. All of you guys are worth so much. Do not let the world tell you how much you are worth. Who you are matters. Where you're going also does. But most importantly, know that you are a child of God. That knowledge will help save you in these coming days. Where you're going and where you'll be, you don't know. I don't know. But I do know one thing, that I am a child of God, just like you guys are. I will bear testimony that each and every one of you guys here has the potential to accomplish something great in your lives. You might not become a billionaire. You might not become the first man to fly a plane across the United States because, sorry, it's already happened. But you all can become who the Lord needs you to be. You all mean so much. Do not forget how much you mean to the Lord, how much you are worth. If you do not know, I would encourage you. Please pray. Please ask your Heavenly Father how much you're worth. Now, a lot of the things that I've done in the past has been really hard, right? I've trained horses, like I've said. If something was to go wrong, I'd always get blamed for it, mostly because it was me that did it. But it was a good learning experience. It was good. My young men's, I've learned how much that the young men around me, their testimonies does not affect mine. That no matter what they do to me or how it's done, I am still a child of God. There are a lot of people who tell me, Bracken, you can't do this. Bracken, you're not good enough. When I was on a horse during branding, my uncle came over to me and said, Bracken, rope that calf. I says, okay, how? And he started laughing at me because I crossed my rope over my reins. And he says, you can't ride a horse. What? You'll never be able to ride a horse. What do you mean, Dad or Uncle? And he says, yeah, it's just, no, you're not able to ride a horse, ever. I'm sorry. Sorry to crush your dreams, but it's true. Face reality. But I didn't listen to him. I listened to my Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father told me that, yes, Bracken, you can ride a horse, and you can't just ride a $1,000 horse. You can ride a $140,000 horse, which, let me tell you, that was a hard horse to ride because he was so fine-tuned, it was tricky. But I was able to do it. I know my potential. If you're going to listen to anyone in this world, I'm going to ask you to listen to two people. Heavenly Father, the Holy Ghost, and Christ. The Holy Ghost, because he's the messenger for both of them. But, you know, two people, right? I'm homeschooled, Abby. I'm sorry. If you take anything away from this class, guys, please, 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 just know that you are loved. That you guys mean so much. You might be told that you're worth just a penny. You might be told that what you do matters nothing. But contrary to that, you guys do matter a lot. What you do now will impact those around you. It will impact your friends. It will impact your kids. It is your choice to make if that impact's going to be good or if it's just going to be mediocre. Please, guys, trust in the Lord. Know who you are and that you are a child of God. I bear testimony that this is true, that every one of you guys have come from a heavenly home, that all of you guys mean so much to the Lord. What you do matters so much, but who you are matters more. I say these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a non-profit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.